everyone. It is the Fly Guys Podcast. Justin Goodhart alongside Cameron Klein. Cameron, it's a beautiful Friday afternoon, or morning, I should say, as we sit here and the sun rises and the birds sing, and all I can hear is the Detroit Lions fans thumping their chests after an exciting opening night win. How are you on this fine Friday morning, my friend?
There is a new America's team, Detroit, shocking the world against the Super Bowl champions in primetime television. Nothing made my heart grow fonder than that. Not only that, dude, the fact that they ended the whole thing on the defense?
The defense.
In today's NFL.
In today's NFL.
How dare they?
As Kurt Angle
went against the grain.
It's true. And the Detroit Lions, and we're going to talk about week one coming up. You know, there's so many cool things to talk about and everything.
Oh, I'm so excited.
But firstly, first and foremost, just welcome back to the NFL season, everyone. We're so excited to be able to talk about football. Like, real games will be being played. And why not kick it off by talking about last night? By talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. They open up their Super Bowl defense against the Detroit Lions coming into this game. I think most people would have, and I think, you know, would have rightly thought, hey, you know, Detroit, they might be a young and competitive team, but this is the Super Bowl champions. This is still a great team.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs should be able to take care of business. Well, what we found out in that game was, well, early, before even the game started, we knew that Travis Kelce was going to be out. Along, and they already don't have Chris Jones, their star defensive player. Now, Cameron, if you would text me and said, does Kelce not being in the game make you believe the Lions are going to do this? I would have probably told you no, because I still think that the Chiefs had enough playmakers to get it done. This is why I'm not a coach. This is why I don't get paid professionally to do this. Because, woof, those receivers from Kansas City were horrible.
Kadarius Toney's making me very, very happy that I did not draft him in any of my fantasy leagues, because I didn't fully trust him, and then you watch him last night. I definitely don't trust him
that
now.
Is a candidate.
I fully don't trust him at all. Like, that was tough, my man. That was tough to watch.
It's one game in. It's like, you don't know if it'll be forgotten about, but at the end of the year, when people talk about what was the worst single game performance you've seen this season, his week one showing against the Detroit Lions might just be up there. A ball that is perfectly placed, because you know Patrick Mahomes isn't just going to throw errantly. He doesn't do that.
Yeah.
A perfectly placed crossing route, and it goes right through his arms, right through his hands, right into the arms of Brian Branch, takes it back for a touchdown. It ties the game. It changed everything. Now, I thought the Lions made one critical mistake in this game, and I thought it was going to come back to bite them. And that was, it was 14-14, it was 4th-and-3 from the Chiefs' 40-yard line, and they chose not to go for it, which was insanity to me, because I thought, you really don't think this offense can go get 3 yards? You really think you need to play the field position game? And it looked like that was going to come back to haunt them. It was 20-14.
Plus, dude, it's Dan Campbell. You think, Dan Campbell, it's he's going to go for it.
Absolutely.
You know? He's going to put his nuts on the table here, but
he doesn't, and it does not come back to haunt him. But, I mean, it was more than just Kadarius Toney, but he's going to be the poster child for what was the worst performance from Kansas City's offense. I'd go as far as to say this. It is the worst offensive performance in the entire Patrick Mahomes era, and it's not even Patrick Mahomes' fault that happened.
No, it never is.
It never would be now. He's perfect.
Yeah, even that Tampa Bay Super Bowl, you saw that the guy was putting it all out there. It wasn't his fault, you know, trying.
No.
But yeah, dude, it wasn't just him, man. Sky Moore, another one, dropped a couple passes. It was giving me vibes of early Green Bay Packers games from last year, where Aaron Rodgers would just throw the and he was not as nice as Mahomes is being. I'm not sure if you've seen what Mahomes has said. He's just I trust my receivers, blah, 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 saying all the right stuff.
Things.
Whereas Rodgers last year was just no, they suck and they need to get it together. So it's nice. It's kind of funny to see the disparity there. But yeah, man, it was a bad performance all around from the Chiefs offense.
Bad.
And again, you said, Mahomes looked great. Mahomes was doing what he normally does. I mean, just stepping in and out of the pocket, his pocket awareness, the normal stuff was just ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah, it's outstanding. But no, man, there was multiple times where I mean, deep downfield, dropped balls. I was just like, dude, that can't happen on a professional level. But good on Detroit and good on Jared Goff, because a lot of times Goff last year had his resurgence. A lot of people are happy for him. I'm happy for him. But people were wondering going into, is he going to be able to maintain that going into this year? And again, it's only one game. It's very early on. But he didn't blow the lights out of the place, but he didn't make any mistakes either. He kept it nice and clean. He was able to keep everything together. He kept them down. He kept them going down the stretch to keep that game the way it was going and allow the defense to stop it. And it was a great performance from the Lions. I'm super excited about the Lions going into the season. I'm even more excited now. Amon-Ra St. Brown looked great. Jahmyr Gibbs, dude, I'm just excited for football. Yeah, he made an immediate impact.
The only mistake the Lions really made from like a personnel perspective on offense is that they didn't use Gibbs enough. I thought he was clearly the best running back on the field, and I didn't even think Montgomery played poorly. I think that Gibbs was just that much better. Amon-Ra St. Brown is just—he's an extremely talented wide receiver. Yeah. There's a reason why he leads the league in catches over the last 2 years, ever since he came into the league. He is probably the best over-the-middle target you can have as a quarterback. I can't think of too many other people I'd rather have running, you know, those intermediate crossing routes than St. Brown. But it goes Aiden LaPorta, I think that's his name, the tight end, Sam LaPorta. It's Sam LaPorta, sorry.
Yeah, he's from Notre Dame, right, I think?
Yep, I think from Notre Dame. He looked great in his debut.
He did.
The offensive line looked incredible for the Detroit Lions. Offensively, they look great. I did have questions defensively. I wasn't so sure about the linebackers. I wasn't so sure about the cornerbacks. But you know what? And I don't care that, you know, the receivers might have been terrible for Kansas City. You still got to go and you got to play against Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. You got to defend those tough passes where, you know, he might be scrambling. He might be a couple centimeters from the sideline. He might still throw a 60-yard, you know, spiral right down the field because that's just who he is. They were all ready for that. And great job by the safeties, including C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He looked great out there in his debut with the Detroit Lions. I'm very happy for him. Like, he looked great.
He did. You saw him talking shit too, which was nice.
That's what he does. That's what I love about him. But from a Chiefs perspective, going back to them, defensively they were. I mean, they didn't come up with the key stops. Like, you know, they had the Lions at 3rd and 12 when they were up by 6 points. Still, if they get that stop, they get the ball back. Maybe Mahomes puts together one more field goal drive, puts the game away. But they didn't get the stops. They did not, in my opinion, get a whole lot of pressure on Jared Goff last night, and that is where you miss a Chris Jones. And so if there's two big winners out of tonight, it's Travis Kelce and it's Chris Jones, because they were found out to be the most important pieces outside of Patrick Mahomes, as if there was any doubt on that to begin with. It was only reinforced last night with just not a good performance. They'll be fine. They're the Chiefs. They'll get those guys back, and they will still win 12, 13 games like they normally do.
Yeah.
As if you want any hot takes from Cameron and I today, you're probably not going to find them, other than just simply Kadarius Toney should probably be tried for actual capital crimes against the Kansas City Chiefs from yesterday. That would be the only hot take that I would give you.
They should definitely open up an investigation in terms of gambling with that guy, because
Willikers. There's bad. There's Jalen Reagor bad, which is bad. And then there's, like, you don't even belong on a D2 school bad. He didn't belong on a D2 school last night. He wouldn't have belonged in Gallaudet yesterday. He belonged nowhere near a football field.
Yeah.
And it makes me personally sick, because this guy had the game of his life back in February against the Eagles.
Yeah.
And then he comes out and does this, and all I want to do is just, you know, drive into a guardrail over that stuff.
Hey, man, maybe the guy just needs like 3 months to warm up to get to game time ready. I don't know.
When they get back to the Super Bowl and he goes off for 150 yards receiving and 3 TDs,
exactly. It was one of those things, man, where you see, like, early on in the game, you see him like drop that first pass, and it's like you can see the train derail. Then the second one's dropped, and now it's just like, oh no. Oh no!
Avalanche.
Like, yeah,
avalanche.
Yeah. And at that point, you're not catching anything. Like, by the third drop, it's in your head. It's the equivalent of the yips. I mean, you got the wide receiver yips. Basically, you're screwed. You're screwed. And I do want to, you, because you brought up the defense, I just want to bring out the name Jack Campbell, that rookie linebacker from
Iowa.
Detroit.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Who made that ridiculous play. I mean, dude.
The diving pass defense right there, yeah.
Reminded me of young Zach Thomas right there, reading that coverage like that. Gotta love it.
Oh, he's already throwing out the Zach Thomas comparison.
Gotta love it, man. Gotta love it.
Oh, but yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, no, Tony, it was tough, man. It was funny to watch it like that. It reminded me of like the Nelson Aguilar from the early Eagles days, where like he dropped one or two passes and you could just see like, this is going to be one of those days for him. This is going to be one of those days.
Nelson Aguilar didn't have that bad of a game with the Philadelphia Eagles.
No,
he had bad
no, he
game.
Didn't. Fair.
He never had that bad of a game.
Fair enough. That's a good point. That's a good point.
I think the best way to put it for the Chiefs, you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. If Patrick Mahomes stopped playing today, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer in my opinion, because he's just been that dominant.
Yes. Agreed.
But this proves one thing, that the Eagles learned with Donovan McNabb and what all GMs have to eventually accept. You can't just throw your great quarterbacks out there with pig slop and expect things to be okay. Patrick Mahomes put the ball on the money. Mm-hmm. Late in the game, down by one, he put the ball on Kadarius Toney's hands. But you can't – Patrick Mahomes can't make Tony catch that, and he didn't catch it. And, it was right bleeping there in his hands, and he couldn't come up with it. So this is a call to all GMs. When the Chiefs, obviously, they didn't go after DeAndre Hopkins. They didn't feel like they needed him. You know what? Maybe you could have used a guy like that last night, because if DeAndre Hopkins is running like that and you throw him the ball, there's a good chance he's coming down with that catch. Stop treating your quarterbacks like slaves. Give them some talent. That would be the message of the morning that I think all people can agree with throughout the NFL.
And I kind of don't get why that's not like, I just don't get why that's not already the clear understanding of things, especially with Aaron Rodgers. Like, Aaron Rodgers is, to me, the biggest one. Well, obviously money. Yeah, of course. Especially when you're paying a quarterback $250 million over the span of 5 years. Also, shout out to Joe Burrow. He's the newest, highest paid.
Joe Daddy.
Yep. He's the new highest paid until next year when there's another higher paid person by $1 or whatever.
I don't even know who's next on the list. I think Joe's like the last one for a little bit.
I think so, too. Tua doesn't have a new contract, but he's not going to get that contract.
Maybe Goff, if he has like an incredible year with the Lions. I don't know what his contract looks like right now, but I can't
imagine
Jared Goff getting
$270 million.
If you're his agent, you have a great argument point. Goes only one quarterback in this league is 2-0 all time against Patty Mahomes.
It's true. This is true. Yeah.
But
because Joe Burrow's like 3-1 now, I think.
But you know, like, here's the thing. You mentioned, why do GMs not get it? And it's mind boggling to me. Josh Allen was okay, not great, and then he got Stephon Diggs. It changed everything.
Boom, right.
Tua Tagovailoa has Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. And
boom.
We'll go figure. He has an unbelievable year last year.
Yeah.
You put A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith with Jalen Hurts. Suddenly,
boom,
he has an MVP year.
Yep.
T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase with Joe We can go on and on throughout this list. Like, this is what GMs have to accept early on. If you don't want to pay running backs, all right, that's fair enough. I understand that. They're a depreciating asset. Wide receivers are not a depreciating asset. You need wide receivers in the NFL. You have always needed wide receivers ever since we moved to a more passing league in the mid-80s to now.
Yeah.
Like, it's just what it's always been.
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't have to go after the craziest guys. One of the better receivers in terms of team play, Julian Edelman. He wasn't a world beater, man. He wasn't the highest paid guy. He wasn't the Justin Jefferson of his day. But he was damn good, and he was reliable, and he was reliable for a consistent decade. And look what they did together. Like, he wasn't a super well-known household name, but he showed up, did his job, and he caught the G-damn ball. And that's all you got to do.
Julian Edelman, Wes Welker.
Yep.
You know, you want to talk about forgotten slot or third receivers that caught the ball all the time? I don't know how well you remember them. Eagles had a guy, Jason Avant. He caught just about everything thrown his way.
Oh, yeah.
Everything that was thrown his way, he came down with. And at the end of the day, the most important thing that a quarterback has is a receiver that he knows when he throws it, and it might be in a pinch, might not be the best place ball, there's a realistic chance that receiver is going to come down with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, and again, you watch the highlights of the greats. I was watching Tyreek Hill highlights the other day because I drafted the two of my fantasy teams, and there are plays that he should not be able to make that he makes. That's what you're paying for when you're paying for that receiver. And like you said, running back is a lot more depreciating of an asset, but wide receivers last a good 10 years in the league. strong too. Like you can have a strong, solid receiver for a good amount of time. You just got to pay him. You just got to give him the appropriate stuff. Again, if you don't, you kind of see what happens last night. You saw what happened with Aaron Rodgers. Drew Brees only has one ring. Like, I mean, the list kind of goes on of guys who, if you don't give them talent, they're great. They are the greats. You still need something else with them. Patrick Mahomes needs that. I'm sorry. Like, Tyreek Hill, he doesn't need a Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill helps, but he needs somebody like a Tyreek Hill. He needs somebody better than Sky Moore and Tony. Yeah, like
a professional NFL wide receiver.
Yes.
And Kadarius Tony and Sky Moore, they're fourth and fifth options in a normal situation.
To me,
they're
running backs who are put in the wide receiver position. They're super fast. That's great, but you got to be able to catch the ball.
The Chiefs, even when Travis Kelce comes back, it's not going to necessarily solve their receiver situation.
Yeah.
Either someone's going to have to step up with the offense on the wide receiving side, or they're going to have to look at free agents and maybe even a potential trade to bring someone of some value back. Because, forgive me, I don't exactly trust Kadarius Toney to just, you know, turn it around just like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't really know what's going on with Kelce in this knee. Like, we know it was hyperextended, but that could mean a lot of things. Like, that could be re-aggravated very, very easily. I'm not saying you have to rely on that, but you should have at least somewhat, after last night, you should have somewhat of a backup plan in case, if you lose, because if you lose one, they lost one guy, and that's what it did to their offense. They only put up 20 points. The Chiefs. You can't let that happen. You can't just be able to lose one person and have that much of a basement performance. So they got to have something, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. It is Andy Reid.
So now we turn the clock. We turn the clock to Sunday. We got to talk about these games.
It's time.
And I figure we'll just go through the list, give our brief thoughts. You know, obviously we want to kind of keep it more towards, you know, I want to have you talk about the Dolphins. I want to talk about the Birds.
Yeah.
Starting off the first game slated on the 1 o'clock docket. Nick Bosa gets his big money contract, and so his 49ers will be going down to Pittsburgh. To take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. A lot of hype, actually, around this 49ers team. And though it is subtly being talked about, I actually think there should be a little bit more hype around this Steelers team, because there is a chance that maybe Kenny Pickett really develops in year two. He's got a great receiver in George Pickens. We'll see what Najee Harris brings this year. But the Steelers, you know, people forget, this wasn't a team that finished with only 5 wins last year. This is a team that did go 9-8. This is a team that, you know, had a winning record, and when is healthy, you know, has one of the better defenses in football. Cameron, what do you think about this matchup?
I'm excited to see what Pittsburgh is. I still don't think they're not going to be a contender, obviously, in my opinion. I don't think they're going to make it into a wild card spot. Maybe they could, because it is Pittsburgh. It is the Steelers. They always kind of seem to find a way. But, I mean, this game, I just think the 49ers have it because of their defense, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with that. But I would say, in terms of like what you can watch, it's exciting to see what Brock Purdy's going to do year two. Is he the real deal? Is he supposed to be Mr. Irrelevant, and is he just part of the system? But I'm really excited to see also Kenny Pickett and George Pickens, where they kind of left off after last year, where they pick up. Same with Najee Harris. I have a feeling he's going to come back and have a solid, dominating year. I think he's going to have a good second year in the NFL, but we'll see. But I don't know. This game is just kind of one of those games for me. I kind of don't really care about it. I don't really care for either team too much, and I just kind of think it might be fun for both fans, but I think the 49ers are going to win by a touchdown or two touchdowns, whatever. I don't think it's going to be super competitive.
In terms of what we actually have slated for the 1 o'clock games, I would say this is probably one of the better 1 o'clock games.
Okay.
And we'll talk about the others, obviously.
Yeah.
I do think that the Niners are a team that should win this game. I'm picking the Steelers, though, for a couple reasons. You know, the Niners have to come over to the East Coast for week one, which, you know, it's never easy dealing with jet lag and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And playing in Pittsburgh is not an easy place to play.
Yeah. True.
Two, if there was a defense that I thought could at least be comparable or maybe even as much as on par with the 49ers, the Steelers would have been my pick. T.J. Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick,
a healthy, a healthy Steelers defense is top 10 in this league. I agree.
Absolutely.
That's for sure.
They have the rookie Joey Porter Jr. We'll see how he looks in his first bit of action. He has a pretty tough assignment with Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel going to be on the outside.
Yeah.
So, but the big thing for me is the fact that I believe the Steelers are just one of those teams where every year we have like the surprise team, the team that comes out of nowhere. Last year it was kind of Philadelphia with the way that they were kind of came out of nowhere with Jalen Hurts, second year starting, kind of uprising. The Steelers are kind of that team on watch for me. I don't know if they'll have an Eagles-type season, but I think that they have the right pieces in place where if things go right, this could be a very shocking team. And I think that if I'm going to believe that, then I'm also going to choose to believe that they get the job done in week one. Eke it out. I'm thinking 20-19, 20-18 type score. And as far as Brock Purdy goes, a lot of people think that he doesn't have anything to prove. That, you know, he's already proven it. That
yeah.
he could, you know, hang with the big dogs. Whereas Jalen Hurts still has something to prove. So it's, you know, kind of funny to me how the narratives go. But I do think Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be the long-term answer for the Niners. But a win against the Steelers would go at least somewhat a bit of a way to proving that he can be the guy.
I would say just starting out, having a good week one will help. Kind of.
Yeah. I'm choosing Steelers. Cameron's going Niners.
Yeah.
Moving quickly, we're sticking in the AFC North. Cleveland hosts Cincinnati. Joe Burrow, the aforementioned Joe Burrow, getting his big boy contract. And oh, daddy, was it a contract with $219 million guaranteed over the next 5 years. The richest contract, it's never about whether he deserved it or not, and I think Joe deserved it. But in this day and age, it's always about who's next. Like, who's the next guy that's going to get paid? And
yeah.
you knew Joe was getting something good if Daniel Jones got $150 million. So you knew that Joe was getting something.
Huh.
Cameron, I don't like the Browns this season. I really, you know, maybe I'm just really low on Deshaun Cosby, but I just think that I think the Bengals take care of this one.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you my reasoning of why I think the Bengals will win, and that is because when Joe Burrow was signing that contract, he wasn't thinking about that contract. He was thinking about the Browns' defensive schemes. Because that's what he does. He doesn't turn it off. My man's cold as ice. He doesn't give a shit. But no, dude, I mean, yeah. Like, in terms of both these teams, the Browns have a great defense. They still have Nick Chubb. Deshaun Watson, second year, didn't look great last year. It was a short sample size, but didn't look great. I don't necessarily expect him to look... I expect him to look better. I do. It's his second year with the team. But, yeah, man. I mean, the Bengals are the Bengals. I just, like, he's not Joe Burrow. The Browns aren't the Bengals. I think the Bengals beat them basically everywhere. So I just don't.
It's as great. Listen, I think Myles Garrett.
I got nothing to say.
I think Myles Garrett's the best defensive lineman in football.
Yeah.
I think Nick Chubb's the best running back in football.
Yeah.
But two positions can't obviously win an entire game by themselves. And the other thing that I was going to say is, in terms of the Bengals, they have three, you know, quality starting, could be your number one wide receivers in different systems. D.
Mm-hmm.
Higgins, Jamar Chase, even Tyler Boyd. So, I mean, good luck. Have fun covering that.
Yeah.
Oh, and they got Dalton Schultz now in Cincinnati. Or, I'm sorry, not Dalton Schultz. They have not Dalton Schultz. They have the other tight end, though, that's there. They got a pretty good team. They have extremely good offense. I think the offensive line marginally improves this season. Hopefully. They kind of need it. Especially now that the quarterback's making $200 million.
Yeah.
But, Bengals, I think they take that one.
But even if they marginally improve, it's like won 13 games last year. So, like, okay. Then they're just going to get better. Like, dude, yeah. Yeah.
Come on. Bucks, Vikes. It's another 1 o'clock kickoff.
Shit? Ugh.
It's a very boring matchup. Very quickly. Vikings should win. They're at home. They have a real quarterback.
Should. Yeah.
And they have Justin Jefferson, so I mean that's kind of like if they were like this, Justin Jefferson easily tips the scale in favor of the Minnesota Vikings.
Is Baker starting officially? Is that the official? Is it him or is it Kyle Trask? Do we know the answer to that?
It's going to be Baker.
Okay, all right. I don't know if they announced it or whatever. I don't think it matters really that much. Just, yeah, the Tampa won their Super Bowl. They did what Tampa always does. They win their Super Bowl, and they just go right back into irrelevancy. They show up every, like, 10, 20 years, win a ring, and then they're just right back down to nobody thinks about them. So
yeah, and the fun stuff with that Tampa Bay team is the fact that I think it is a little underrated just because of how weak the quarterback situation is. They do still have Chris Godwin. They have Mike Evans. They do have some pretty good pieces, but you know,
they have
at
weapons,
the end of the day, having a good quarterback matters. And maybe Baker will be shocking. I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled off a couple surprise wins.
Yeah,
but I just feel like in Minnesota, this is like the Vikings' last gasp of a breath to win with this core.
Yeah.
I at least think the Vikings will get off to the right start for week one.
I agree with you. And to go off the weapon thing, too, with Baker, he also did have Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, David Njoku, and Nick Chubb, and did nothing with them. So, you know.
No, he didn't. He really didn't do anything with them.
Yeah.
Washington plays host to Arizona. The debut of Jonathan Gannon as head coach of the Arizona Cardinals.
There it is.
The
game no one gives a shit. That's it. That's our champion for this week. The game no one gives a shit about. All right. Nice.
Oh, I give a shit. I give a shit about this game.
Out of spite.
I have never in my life rooted for Washington. I hate Washington. But I am rooting for them to kick the crap out of these rotten, disgusting Cardinals led by a snake oil salesman. Like, I think that's the only way you can describe Jonathan Gannon, is just he's a snake oil salesman. He has the press conference, and mockingly, he wasn't being serious, he mockingly says, "I'm the reason why we lost Super Bowl 57. It's like, you know, you're mocking that, so you're obviously hearing the noise that we as Eagles fans feel is like, hey man, you're responsible for this. Let me just give everyone a reminder, and Cameron a reminder. He said he was staying in Philadelphia after that NFC title game. He said, those were his words, "I'm not going anywhere." And then he takes up that meeting with the Arizona Cardinals while everyone else was getting ready for the Super Bowl. He wasn't focusing on that game. He was focusing on his next venture as being a head coach of a dead franchise right now. So, you know what? Everything that comes to him this year, and it's not, nothing's going to be good out of this year. Kyler's not playing. I think they're going to either have to go with Colt McCoy. I don't even know who the other guy is. I think Colt, and there's like another guy that they might go with. I think Josh Dobbs might be over in Arizona right now, for all I know. So they have to figure out who their quarterback is. They have the decaying corpse of Zach Ertz over there, which, get that man out of that city and on a real football team. Please. Bring him back to Philadelphia for all I care. I would be happy just to see him in a real organization, because he's decaying over there. It's not right. They have no receivers. They have a very little bit of a defense. They have Buda Baker, Yahoo, for at least 5 weeks before they trade him. They're tanking for Caleb Williams out of USC. So enjoy this, John. I want you to soak it in, because you are on borrowed time. Fuck the Cardinals. To hell with Jonathan Gannon. Commanders, I almost said Redskins. Commanders probably win like that. I'm honestly expecting them to win like 27-7.
So I could tell you got that fire in your gut. You got it. Justin has it. Justin has the fire that Jonathan Gannon's looking for.
I have the fire in my gut.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to take the bus to get to the facility to get that fire.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know.
What a dumb fit. Like, what was that?
Like, to me, like, to say, like, Who drove their car in today? They're all NFL players. They all have millions of dollars. They all own vehicles. Yeah. The rookie contract is $850,000. Now, granted, they don't get all that money immediately, but it's, I mean, what are we doing here? What are you doing, like, John? What are you,
like, what are we talking
what
about?
What is
like,
this?
Who took public transportation here?
Dude, he watched Any Given Sunday and was just like, this is it. Okay. This is how to be a head coach. Al Pacino's got it. Just scream a bunch. Get them all going. Yeah, dude. And like, if I'm an Arizona fan, I really don't feel comfortable, especially seeing like the fact of him sarcastically saying, now I haven't seen that clip, I have to see it to judge myself, but him sarcastically saying, "I'm the reason why they lost," is the fact that he's mocking his own responsibility in it. And I'm not saying like it was all his fault. I am saying that. But like, hypothetically, we're not saying it's all his fault. You have to still at least be like, I'm the head of this unit. And this unit is the reason why we failed. I have to take responsibility for that. The fact that he's just He's like, as if it's like, it's not even my fault at all. That's ridiculous, man. That's ridiculous. And that's coming from your head coach. That's coming. That's the mentality of the guy who's on top of the organization right now.
Excuses.
Not good.
Just excuses. We don't need to take accountability. We don't need to. I don't need to own up for anything. So, you know, Washington, you know what? I think they have that fire in their gut because guess what? They know that if they F up, their head coach is going to get canned midseason or close to the end of the year with the new owners and everything. And plus, Washington is a team that, honestly, in all seriousness, like, they'll play hard. That stadium, think about it, new owner and everything, that stadium's going to be rocking down there
that's
in
FedEx
Field. As crappy a stadium as it is going to be rocking down there.
No, that's a good point. It's the start of a new era, and I'm sure some of those people on that team want to buy into that new era, so they're going to play extra hard. Arizona, start of a new era there, but not a good one.
No.
Not a good one at all.
Commanders by 20 in that one. They're going to kill the Cardinals.
We'll see. Yeah, I'm interested.
Colts Jaguars. That's a game that, I mean, the Jaguars should win this game. Like, they absolutely should win this game. It's the debut of Anthony Richardson, who will probably, you know, his team will hit a field goal and he'll start doing backflips or something because that's how he likes to celebrate. Jaguars are the favorites to win the AFC South, and for good reason. They have the best coach, they have the best quarterback, they have the best defense, and they probably have the best offense in the entire division. So,
yeah, they're gonna run away with it. And just a shout out to Jim Irsay being a piece of shit during his doing his normal Jim Irsay things of just being like, we're not gonna pay our running back, but we want a first round pick for him. So, you know, they wanted Jalen Waddle.
You know what? I'm actually kind of glad you mentioned this. Do you want to
quickly
talk about? Do you want to talk about what you as a Dolphins fan think when you hear Jonathan Taylor for Jalen Waddle?
I don't think anything. I think one thing. I think that's a person's name, and that's Jim Irsay. I think Jim Irsay. What? That's not delusional. It's not delusional when you realize that it's coming from Jim Irsay, because that is a man who would believe that. A man would believe, I can just take their first round pick for our running back who I don't fully have faith in. Like, it's insane to me as a person who's as well versed in business as he is to be able to say, like, hey, I want to trade my asset for your asset, but I don't actually trust my asset at all, and still think that the other side is going to be like, oh, sure, yeah, no problem. Here's our first round pick from 2 years ago for your guy who you don't believe in. Like, it's like a used car salesman being like, you have to trade in a Ferrari for this 2003 Honda Camry, because that's how much I value it, but I'm not going to send the Camry out. Like, it's just asinine. It's asinine. It's a person who's too old to be owning a team thinking that they have some type of leverage. And the victim in all of it is Jonathan Taylor and the fans of the Indianapolis Colts. Those are the victim of this. So it's just typical Jim Irsay doing typical Jim Irsay shit, completely delusional. But whatever, man. Whatever.
It's shocking to me, honest to God. It's very shocking that he would listen. You ask. There's nothing wrong with having a big asking price, but with Irsay, you know, he basically trashes his franchise player, and he basically devalues him by himself. Doesn't have to do anything. He just, you know, his words said more than enough. And then he has the nerve to go to the Dolphins and ask them for the best wide receiver they've potentially ever drafted. Just like, really? That's what we're going to ask for?
Yeah.
That's what you're going to ask for? Yeah. Like, if they had asked for, like, a second-round pick and, like, I don't know, someone along the defensive line, I would have been like, all right, I can see the logic behind it. You really do want to try and get some asset for your Pro Bowl running back. I can live with that. But to go guns a-blazing and just say, like, yeah, give us Jalen Waddle. Give us the receiver that is the main, like, one of the main reasons why your quarterback has a legitimate shot of being successful. It's just like, I'm sure the Dolphins heard that offer and they were just like, yeah, we can hang up the phone. Like, they're not taking this seriously.
Yeah, no, I would probably myself feel kind of, not kind of, I would feel disrespected. I would feel like you're not taking me seriously. You're making a mockery out of me asking about him, which is ridiculous to me. But yeah, it's just like, hey, we know that you designed your entire offense behind two extremely fast receivers who can do deep crossing routes unlike anybody else. Can we have one of those guys for a guy who we claim that has a back injury and hasn't practiced all training camp?
Like, what are we doing?
Like, come on, Jim. You don't really believe that's going to work, really, do you? If you do, that's it's time to hang
him
up.
I think it's his way of being like, well, I tried to trade you, but, you know, the Dolphins weren't willing to work with us. So.
No, knowing him, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Jags win that game. Panthers-Falcons debut of Bryce Young. It's a pretty uninteresting game unless you're a Panthers fan for obvious reasons. But, you know, Panthers, though I think they're underdogs. They're 3.5-point underdogs. I think they probably get the win just because I think they have a bit more. I think they're going to have more kind of similarly to the Commanders. New quarterback, new regime. I think they come up with just a bit more fire in their arsenal as opposed to, oh my God, who is the quarterback they have in Atlanta?
Desmond Ritter.
Desmond Ritter,
thank you. Yeah, exactly.
It's
no
idea. Arthur Smith is probably on his last year being head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. I really don't think he sees it pass this year, especially if they don't make the playoffs. And I know people are excited about Bijan Robinson, but I'm warning everyone now. I'm not saying Bijan's going to be a bad player. I'm saying that drafting a running back at 8 overall is a very poor use of resources. And even more than that, the last time that a bona fide star running back out of Texas came out, the Saints traded everything to go get that guy. And Ricky Williams, within a couple years, was in Miami, and within a couple years after that, would be retired. So it's just a forewarning to everyone that drafting a running back high is a stupidly dumb thing to do. And the Falcons doing that have pretty much bet on, oh, you know what? We're going to be a Super Bowl contender within a couple years because he was the missing link. Desmond Ritter is going to be able to take a Super Bowl with Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts, who's been so disappointing as a player so far in his career.
I haven't watched enough games to like judge why Kyle Pitts has not performed as well. I don't know
if quarterback
his play
has a lot to do with it.
Exactly.
I think it's been a bad quarterback situation. But,
exactly.
You know, he's not. You know, they build him as Shannon Sharp. I don't even know if he's L.J. Smith.
Right. We don't know. Dude. I think the game's fun because, like you said, Bryce Young, new regime, Bijan Robinson. Yeah. You get to see what he's going to do. That kind of stuff. But yeah, it kind of seems like a pretty boring game. I think it could go either way because, at least with the Falcons, they have somewhat of an established team already. At least there is an established regime. They have an established offense. You're just kind of throwing Bijan Robinson into that. Whereas Panthers, new regime, new quarterback, everything's new. There's going to be some hiccups there. So I think it's going to be probably a sloppy game with a couple of flashes from future stars. You're going to see a nice, cool run from Bijan Robinson. You're going to see a nice touchdown pass from Bryce Young. But I think it's probably going to be a pretty sloppy game, and it's going to come down to a mistake of who wins it.
Yeah, I would agree. If you told me the final score would be like 16-13, I would
believe it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Me too.
But, you know, again, my message to Panthers fans is like, hey, just enjoy the ride. Like, you know, it's not about winning this year. It's about seeing growth. It's about seeing, you know, guys get up to speed. You have a good running back tandem. You have Bryce Young. So just have fun with it. That's what
exactly.
I would say to you guys.
Exactly.
Last 1 o'clock game, New Orleans Saints, Tennessee Titans. If you were to tell me that both teams are going to finish with the same record this season, I'd believe it. But if you look deep inside the numbers, one of those teams is going to finish in a very different state of mind than the other team. What I mean by that is Tennessee is they're teetering on disaster, right?
Yes.
New Orleans might probably should win the NFC South this season. So Saints are 3-point favorites at home, and that basically means the line's even. I don't know if they still do the whole thing where like you give 3 points to the home team. If they do, that would essentially mean the line is even right now.
Yeah, I have no idea either. You have to check. Depending on the sports book, it probably changes.
So Ryan Tannehill, it could very well be his last season in the NFL. I know that, you know, Cameron, you know, he is RT17 forever.
He's my boy forever.
Derrick Henry could be in his... Derrick Henry might be in his final season as a member of the Tennessee Titans, and probably is, for that matter. They have DeAndre Hopkins. They have, the guy they drafted last year, whose name
Treylon Burks.
Thank you, Treylon Burks. See, this is why I have Cameron here, guys. So whenever I'm blanking on a name, he brings me up to speed. But they have Treylon Burks, who, as a rookie, I thought showed some promise, but, you know, not enough to justify trading A.J. Brown away, but, you know, at least something along those lines.
Agreed.
This will be kind of an interesting game. I do think Derek Carr making his debut at home will take care of business against the Titans. Like, I don't have too many concerns about that aspect.
I think so too. I think the Saints are a well-built team, and bringing Derek Carr in kind of solved a lot of problems for them. Derek Carr's not amazing. He's coming off of his worst season yet. And granted, his worst season yet wasn't a terrible season. It just wasn't as good as what Derek Carr's done before. But that was with a new offensive scheme that didn't seem to be really well-liked. Josh McDaniels doing Josh McDaniels things isn't well-liked again. Chandler Jones saying, get me the fuck out of here. Who would have thought that's going to happen, you know? I don't know how many times we have to hear Brandon Marshall say that Josh McDaniels does not know how to communicate and talk to players. Nobody likes him. You know,
I guess
we
have to hear it at least one more time while he's the head coach of the Raiders. But, like, yeah, I mean, like, Derek Carr, you know, here's the thing about the Saints. You know, a lot of people think, like, oh, they could be an up-and-coming team. I would caution against that mindset.
Yeah.
The Saints are the oldest team in the NFL by average. They are over 27 years on average. That is old by NFL standards.
Yeah, they're not exciting because they have a bunch of new guys. It's just a bunch of new guys in town kind of thing, like Derek Carr.
Yeah,
old dude, new guy in town.
But where
Michael
have we
Thomas
seen this before?
Michael Thomas is coming back, seems to be fully healthy, but we don't know. He could get hurt again. But if he stays healthy, that's a big thing. They do have Chris Olave, that's cool, but yeah, like, it's a lot of old faces but new in the franchise. So it's exciting, but
yeah, so I think that we've seen this before with the New Orleans. They bring in like a new hotshot quarterback, and last time it was Drew Brees when he was entering the prime of his career.
Yeah.
You know, Carr is in the midst of his prime. He's probably getting closer towards the tail end of the prime, but, you know, he's still in his prime right now. Saints should win this one.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be the start of a very, very frustrating season. Honestly, I think for both teams, but I think the Saints will at least have more to say on behalf of their season when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I am excited to see what D-Hop does with the new team, you know, just because I love DeAndre Hopkins, but, like, he's not going to change their team, unfortunately.
No. 425 games begin. We'll start in the NFC West. The Seattle Seahawks will be taking on the Los Angeles Rams. Cameron, this is another one of those games where it's like, we kind of feel like we know who should win this game. Yeah. Seattle's at home. They're 5-point favorites. Geno Smith. They have Witherspoon, the new cornerback that they got, that they drafted. They have Kenneth Walker. They have DK Metcalf. They have a ton of talent. The Rams, they are reaping what they sowed for everything that they gave up to win that Super Bowl, and they won it. So at least they won it, and that's what you have to say about that organization. They at least won it.
Like I said before, they sold the soul to the devil. He is in the midst of collecting right now. You're watching it. You're watching it. Yep.
The Rams will probably lose this one.
Yeah, I mean, Broncos, Seattle's Raiders. A tough place to play. But yeah, beyond Broncos, Raiders, where's it at?
It's in Denver. They're 3.5 favorites.
Okay.
Denver. So
that's the Sean Payton effect. A lot of people are acting like they're going to completely turn it around with Sean Payton. We will see. I doubt it, but we'll see.
I think they...
they'll be better.
Will they win this game? Oh, my goodness. They got swept last year by the Raiders. Now, obviously, Derek Carr was the quarterback throwing to guys like Devontae Adams, and this year it'll be Jimmy Garoppolo, and we don't know what Jimmy G will look like with the Raiders. Apparently, he had a very bad camp with the Raiders this offseason. But this really does come down... whoever's going to win this game, whoever, you know, when you're listening to this, it really just does come down to how much you believe that Sean Payton's going to change things for the better for Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
It really does come down to that. Because if he does, then we're not talking about them just beating the Raiders. We're talking about them competing with the Bills, the Chiefs, the Dolphins, you know, the Bengals, all those teams. So I don't think the Broncos are going to be particularly great, but I think they'll probably get the win in this one.
I think so, too. With them being at home, with all the turmoil going on with the Raiders and the fact that no one really seems to want to play there. Jimmy D was talking about a knee injury earlier this year, and he's still playing. So I guess he's just – I think that was him trying to get out of playing with Josh McDaniels, and then it just didn't work. I have no idea. But, yeah, dude. I would go Denver as well. Like, the team's talented. Denver is still a talented team. They really needed a good coach to kind of put it all together. And as much as I don't like Sean Payton, I do think he's a better head coach than Nathaniel Hackett was. So I think you're going to see some resurgence from them. And them being at home, I think, will give them the edge.
You know, I have to say, I feel like Denver has, like, the most forgotten about great defender in Pat Surtain.
Yes.
Like, he's really good. Like, Patrick Surtain the second is extremely, extremely good. So, yeah, I think that they should probably win that one. This might be it for Josh McDaniel. It's not only in a Raider as a Raiders coach, but if this season doesn't go well, I can't imagine him. He gets another head coaching gig at this point in his career.
I don't think he gets.
At some point, you just
three chances. Do you? If you were completely unsuccessful in all of them, right? Like, I don't think you do. Especially if you burn all your bridges.
No.
Like nobody wants to play for the guy. From what I ever.
He's a dick. That's what it comes down to.
He was a dick in Denver, a dick in New England. Like,
dicks.
Yeah. And sometimes it works. Like, with Bill Parcells, it works, right? Because, like, it certain guys can be motivated that way. But for certain people, it just doesn't.
But here's the thing. Parcells knows how to talk to his players.
Yeah.
Parcells knew how to get the best of his guy. McDaniel knows how to yell.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing how to yell doesn't change anything. If you're a dick, you're a dick. Parcells might have yelled, but at the same time, you know, he would be able to get to you in a way that, you know, maybe other coaches mentally and psychologically, they can't go places. Parcells, Belichick,
yes.
Walsh, the three Bills, you know, they all knew how to do it. Even Andy Reid knows how to do it.
Yeah, players will listen to the script if they trust the guy who's giving it to them. That kind of thing too. Like, no one's going to rewrite a line from Quentin Tarantino movie. Like, no actor's going to ad-lib that because they're like, well, you know, it's him. But Joshua Daniels, he has not gotten that yet. So when he tells someone to do something and they're like, I don't want to do that, and then he yells at them, they're just like, well, fuck you, because what have you won? Nothing. So get away from me.
If Bill Belichick is Quentin Tarantino and if Bill Walsh is Martin Scorsese, Josh McDaniels is Tommy Wiseau. Like, that's what he is.
Yeah.
Like, it's just what it is. But yeah, we think Broncos on that one.
Yeah.
So moving on, the next 425 game we're going to talk about, Bears and Packers. It is Fox's game of the week. So, yes, they put Justin Fields and Jordan Love on the primetime slot with Kevin Burkhardt and Greg Olsen to do that that broadcast.
Wait, are the Eagles playing Sunday night?
No.
The Eagles
are
playing
CBS. Their CBS is 425 slot.
Okay.
Jim Nantz and Tony Romo will have that call. We'll talk about that game in a second.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so naturally, it felt fitting that the game of the week would be Justin Fields. I felt like it kind
of
had to be with the way that the offseason had gone.
Yeah.
I mean, that I would have been mad, honestly, if after all of that he doesn't get, like, the national spotlight for his first game.
I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. Listen, the Bears are home. They're one-point favorites, so even Vegas is like, well, we're not ready to dive in with everything y'all been saying just yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll spot them a point.
Yeah.
Jordan Love, I think, marches into Lambeau or to Soldier Field and I think pulls off the upset win.
I would love that.
I would love it, too. I would go nuts. I would be so insufferable to Chicago fans if that happened. But, two, Jordan Love's... I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I don't know if he'll be great, but he played so well in his spot duty that he got last season.
He did.
And Christian Watson developed into something. They still have Aaron Jones. They still have a decent offensive line with David Bakhtiari now back in the fold and everything. The defense has players, like, you know, they're professional players I think they have on defense, guys like Rasul Douglas and all that. I think they can win. I think they can win this game. And honest to God, Justin Fields, I think the pressure's on him to show up day one and prove that, hey, all this MVP talk y'all are giving me from the offseason, I was the offseason MVP, let me back that up. Like, that's pressure for a guy to do, for a guy that played at a college that doesn't produce anything noteworthy at the quarterback position.
Yeah, it is.
I hate Ohio State. Did I mention I hate Ohio
State? Yes, but... yes, you have. Don't we all? But yeah.
Seth would be proud of that comment.
Well, dude, it's the fact that they call it the Ohio State, and it's just like, no one cares about Ohio.
The Ohio State University.
No one gives a shit about that. Ohio sucks. I've been there. It's terrible. Cleveland.
But Canton was nice.
No, it wasn't. No. The Hall of Fame
no?
was nice. Canton, the rest of the
town. Okay, the Hall of Fame is nice.
Once you,
but Canton as a whole is
once
not
you good. Step off the grounds, it's like walking into Kensington. Terrible. But Cleveland Cleveland was really a really cool city. But anyway, I'm not here to talk about Midwestern cities. But yeah, man, I'm excited to see what Justin Fields does because I've been talking a lot of shit. So I'm excited to see if he can prove me wrong or if proves me right. I love being right, so that would be great. It would be awesome for me, if he throws for 150 yards, throws one touchdown, one interception, and runs for 113 yards for a touchdown, and they lose by 30 points. That would just make my heart explode.
That's a Justin Fields special right
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
That's the Justin Fields experience.
But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I agree with you that I think Green Bay is a better built team. Chicago's defense has changed this past offseason. It has gotten better.
What do you think Detroit Lions fans are rooting for more, the Bears to win or the Packers? I'd be curious to know that. You know what I think? I think the Lions fans would prefer the Packers to win. Because, you know, they got their big hot shot win, right, over the Chiefs. The Bears, to slay the dragon of the Packers, who have owned them, and really it's been Aaron Rodgers, who's owned them all these years. If the Bears couldn't get over that hump, it'd be like, you know what, we're changing, you're still the same old Bears. We'll take care of the Packers when we play them. That's whatever. But I think most Lions would be like, we're rooting for the Packers to take care of the Bears.
It's a very good point.
That's what I would
think. It's a very good point because, like, I think, like you said, Green Bay's still the team that it was for the most part. They changed the quarterback, so, yeah, it's a major difference. But, like, there's a lot of hype behind the Bears and a lot of hype behind this new regime of the Bears and how they're well-built. They have DJ Moore now. In terms of driving that kind of relationship, I agree with you. If I was a Detroit Lion fan or a Minnesota Viking fan, I would want the same thing, I think. Plus, it'd be nice for them, like Chicago, to lose at home as well, lose their home opener against a team they should are supposed to beat. It's gonna knock them right down. But honestly, I if I'm Minnesota or Detroit, I kind of also don't really give a shit. I don't think either of those teams are gonna touch me. So whatever, let them fight, let them beat each other up.
Fair enough.
You know,
I like that. You know what? I'm a big fan of that mindset. Like, I'm so confident.
Especially
in my team,
Detroit after last night. Detroit right now is just like, we don't even care.
Detroit's saying, on cloud nine right now.
Let them win every game. Let them win every game. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
We go out to LA one more, back to LA for the Chargers.
Yes.
Cameron's Miami Dolphins. And so last year when these two teams played.
No, and I was there. I was there. It was very
disappointing. Did not go Miami's way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You were there. You were there at that game. But Cameron, this year, the Dolphins are coming in as one of the least talked about contenders of the AFC. You're going to talk about the Chiefs, obviously. They're the Super Bowl champions. You're going to talk about the Bills because they're the most exciting team in the AFC East. You're going to talk about the Bengals, especially now that Joe just got paid. But the Dolphins are the team that everyone looks at and go, oh, you're fourth fiddle. You're not anything noteworthy. And everyone's talking about Justin Herbert. Everyone loves Justin Herbert. He's the most talented gunslinger maybe in the NFL. The Dolphins marching into L.A. and getting an opening day win would be sweet. Would be really sweet. And honest to God, I just don't like the Chargers team as a whole that much. I think they're getting a little older on the outside level. I like the Dolphins in this matchup. Tell me about it.
Yeah. I mean, I being on the road to start out stinks, but it's not like the Chargers have a major home fan base, so that's nice. So that'll work out for the Dolphins' favor. Not knowing what's going on with Christian Wilkins is something that I don't like. There's still a contract dispute. I don't know if he's planning on playing or not. If he's not playing, that sucks. That really sucks. If he is, great. If he's not, I still think Miami could pull it out. I am nervous. I'm not nervous with I'm not afraid of Kellen Moore and his offense, but I am nervous that it is something new, right? And the Chargers, for whatever reason, as talented as they are at offense, they weren't able to get over the humps later on in the season last year. So I'm wondering if Kellen Moore is going to actually help with that. And if he is, that does not bode well for us. But I'll tell you what, man, Miami's starting off that toughest schedule in the NFL. They're starting off with a bang against an extremely powerful offense, which has a star-studded defense. Yeah, man, I don't feel great going into this game. But with the talent that Miami has at receiver, the speed that they have at receiver, Vic Fangio, I mean, his defense is going to be tested quickly against this offense. But they held their own last year with one of the 15th or 17th ranked offense and defense in the league, which I think is going to improve. If you are going to be a Super Bowl contender, this is where it starts. You have to beat the Chargers. You have to. There's no excuse. You have to beat this team.
The Chargers are not considered to be a team that's going to be in many people's Super Bowl picks this year. So if you're going to be a Super Bowl team, you got to beat the teams that, you know, you're a people might say, oh, they're about equal. This is it where you got to take, yeah. This is where you got to take a leap. I like the Dolphins for the sole reason that I think that their offense is good enough to beat up on the Chargers defense, and I think the Dolphins defense is just good enough to just do just enough to slow down. I don't think they're going to stop the Chargers offense. I think
no, you can't. They have talent everywhere.
Can you limit it?
You could.
Can you limit it?
I think you could too.
I think you can.
I think you could too.
I think you can.
We'll see.
Now the biggest thing is going to be the Dolphins offensive line hold up against that Chargers defensive line, which features Joey Bosa. I think it still features there's someone else that they have there. Who am I thinking of? Not Melvin Ingram.
Well, they have Khalil Mack.
There's someone else that they have there.
Yeah,
oh,
Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
Khalil Mack. That's what I'm thinking of. And Khalil Mack has not turned. People thought he might have been on a Reggie White pace to start out his career. He's tailed off pretty significantly, but he's still a
beast.
Very, very good defensive lineman. Now, I do think at the same time that Tua, I really do think, needs to come out, and I think they need to be firing the ball early and often. I think that you need to test this Charger secondary, which I don't think is all that good. And with Jeff Wilson out, this is an elevated opportunity once again for Raheem Mostert to try and reestablish himself as a great two-way back that he has proven himself to be, but injuries have been a big issue for him over the last number of years. So we'll see. That really stinks about Jeff Wilson, by the way. It wasn't was really hoping he was going to play. I was really looking forward to having him in my starting lineup. But again, I'm a big fan of Raheem Mostert, so I'm very excited to see him.
Yeah, it's a nice thing about a committee. You know, you do have some other guys. They do have the rookie Devin Achane as well. I'm excited to see. Still have Salvin Ahmed, who looked good in preseason. But it's going to come down to Tua. He's got to get started early, get that confidence rolling quick. If you have a good first drive, it'll be a good day.
And now we move on to the last 4:25 game on the docket, CBS's Sport Game of the Week. Jim Nantz, Phil Simms will be in New England as Tom Brady gets his number retired. The Philadelphia Eagles, the defending NFC champions, will be in town to face the Patriots, the team that they bested in Super Bowl 52 and the team that bested them in Super Bowl 39. Philadelphia is a 4-point favorite in this game. They come into this game almost completely healthy. Only a couple reserve cornerbacks were feeling some illness right now. Hassan Reddick will play. Even with the thumb surgery, he's good to go. They're going to debut Jalen Carter. They're going to debut Nolan Smith. This is going to be a game where Fletcher Cox enters his 13th year as a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. Offensively, everyone's good to go. Starting running back will look like it'll be DeAndre Swift and Kenny Gainwell. Receivers, though, that's all where it starts with the Eagles' offense. It's all about A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, as well as Dallas Goedert to help out Jalen Hurts. The new $250 million man, Jalen Hurts, not as much money as Joe Daddy, but that's okay, because when you get $250 million, who gives a damn about who's making more?
Actually, extra $20 million would be nice, but, you know, whatever, man. You know.
You know. As much money as someone might have, you know what they'll always say. I'd love more.
Exactly.
I'd love more. The Patriots come into this game featuring Ezekiel Elliott with a Ramondre Stevenson as a running back duo. For those worried that Ramondre Stevenson might see a decrease in carries, I really wouldn't worry about that until you get to the one-yard line. Then I might consider a little bit of worry because Zeke turned into a bit of a goal line merchant last year.
I think that's all he is anymore.
Wide receivers. I would agree. Wide receivers, they have Juju Smith-Schuster and Devontae Parker on the outside. Cameron obviously knows Devontae Parker quite well from his days in Miami. Defensively, they do have Jonathan Jones at cornerback. They still do have Matt Judon, who is a great pass rusher who came over from the Baltimore Ravens a few years ago. Great. He could have been the best player of the year last year. This is a really, really underrated Patriots team, in my opinion. I really don't think they're as bad as people make them out to be, and they still have Bill Belichick. With all that said, the Philadelphia Eagles are the best-built roster in the NFL, in my view. Only the 49ers maybe rival them right now in that argument. I think Philadelphia, I don't think it's going to be pretty. It wasn't pretty last year against Detroit. I think they march into New England, and I have them winning around 26-16. Score's a little bit close. Game's a little bit closer than the score indicates, but very excited to see Jalen Carter out there against another thing to note, The Patriots are missing their starting right tackle, Riley Reiff, for this game. So Hassan Reddick gets to go up against the backup that the Patriots have. I need to find out who the heck that guy is. I think it's like a weird name. It's like Matt Sawyer or something like that. Philly, it looks pretty good for them. I feel extremely confident they come out of
I will say this. I've said it before. No team scares me more in terms of Tua's health than the Eagles for that defensive line. Yeah, man. Like, it's going to be a dogfight because it's a Bill Belichick team, and his defense is good. So it's going to be – it's not going to
– They have Jalen Reagor, too. He's going to give away all of our secrets.
That is a Bill Belichick tactic. But, no, dude, I it's not going to be an easy win, right? Like, it's going to be hard fought. It's going to be a lot of grueling in the trenches. It's going to get really physical. It's not going to be high scoring, I don't think. But I just – yeah, man, the cards are stacked so far in the Eagles' favor in terms of roster. Bill O'Brien being back as an offensive coordinator for the Patriots is interesting. See how the offense does now that there's not a defensive coordinator running it, which was an interesting tactic.
Which was dumb from the word like, go, by the way.
Bill Belichick, why would you do that? Why did that thought?
I don't know. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know what he was. That was dumb. Matt Patricia had no reason. There was no reason to think Matt Patricia, who is now an assistant on the Eagles, by the way. There's no reason to think he could have handled the offensive play calling duties. And by the way, it was Saidi So, that's the name of the right tackle and everything. He's not even playing. It's Calvin Anderson, a fifth-year player who has almost never played, comes out of Texas. Yeah, so the right side will definitely be battle-tested. That defensive line that Philadelphia boasts, it is extremely deep. Brandon Graham, Josh Sweat, Fletcher Cox, Milton Williams, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, and they have Hassan Reddick, obviously. That is seven unpleasant names.
Yeah, it's
to
almost
know
two full
face.
Lines of starters that the Eagles have at defensive line. It's scary. It's extremely good. They're rotational pieces. They can just plug in, and it is basically the same as it was. It's very scary, which is why I agree with you. I think it's going to be a lower-scoring game. I think New England's going to surprise some people with how hard they play. I think they're going to stop the Eagles a couple times when they probably shouldn't be able to. But when it comes down to it, I still think the Eagles are going to win by at least a touchdown. But like you said, I think the game's going to be a lot closer than the score indicates. But the roster's just the disparity is just too much. Jalen Hurts is not going to give a shit about how it's Tom Brady's little ceremony shit. He doesn't care. He's still going to drop 30 on you. Like, it is what it is.
I just have to point out, it really does feel like the Patriots are sucking up big time to Tom Brady right now. Just some things that I've heard, like, as you know, when Brady initially retired the first time, I don't know if you remember, he didn't really, like, thank the Patriots and everything in his retirement. I think some fans were butthurt about that. He comes back to New England, you know, he gets, like, the big ovation, he gets the big video package, but it seemed like he didn't really care about that stuff, I think because he had obviously a falling out with Bill. And they've just like, it feels like they've always tried to, like, include him in everything. It feels like that, they should be retiring his number.
Yeah.
I'm not even disputing that. It's funny to me that he hasn't even been retired a whole year, and they're just like, well, let's bring him back right now. We'll retire his number. He deserves it. I'm a little surprised at how soon they're doing it. I thought maybe they'd let some time pass, maybe some old wounds heal, and then bring him back and be like this beautiful
It's almost like a controlling relationship partner where it's like they want to claim you. They want to claim Tom Brady. Be like, no, he wasn't. He was ours. He was ours. He is a Patriot. He's not a Buccaneer.
He's
a Patriot.
He was
never like, he's ours. And Tom Brady's just like, I'm Tom Brady is what I am, and I win games. Like,
it's exactly what he does. And I'll tell you what, Bucks love Bucks fans, they love it because they know the truth, but they're just like, well, he's not saying it, so he's one of us. And Patriots fans are like, you have no idea what you're saying. He's ours. He'll always be ours. And Bucks fans are like, yeah, but he's won the last Super Bowl.
I just think
it's
it's that relationship between a fan base and a player where it's like, this is our guy. Like, he's a Patriot. He cares as much about the Patriots as I do, type of thing.
Patriot.
And it's like, he doesn't. But it's okay. We'll let them think that because that's what it helps them sleep at night. You know,
it is a little funny to me that Tom Brady will be getting his number retired against Philadelphia.
Love it.
The last team he ever beat in the postseason will be the Philadelphia Eagles. 30-15, and I got news for you. 30-15, it wasn't even that close.
It was a bad game.
Blowout.
It was a bad game.
But, you know, when I look back on Tom Brady, I know I've made a lot of jokes. I know a lot of people have been like, you don't act like, you know, you're so, you know, you're so, like, ridiculous with your hatred of Tom Brady. I grew up with that guy, like, a constant presence mm-hmm. in my life in terms of watching football. Super Bowl 39 was my first, you know, one of my first true experiences with Philadelphia heartbreak, and that guy was responsible for it. But for everything that I've said about Tom Brady, I do acknowledge one thing. He will, for whenever I think about football, when I'm 65 years old and I'm thinking about football, Tom Brady will be one of the first people I think of. With that said, I'm so happy he's retired. I'm so happy he's gone. And I'm so happy he's not a part of football anymore. But he'll forever be a big part of my life in football. And he was greatness. He was greatness. He won 7 rings. So he's much deserved jersey retirement. And I wish Eagles will win. That's how I feel. Eagles will Birds by 10. Retire the goats number.
Yeah,
birds
by
10.
Yeah, birds by 12. Hey,
I would love
beautiful.
That.
I kind of feel the same way. What's weird is, like, I don't feel like with Brady, I don't feel like it's as big of, like, an end of an era thing as I would with other players. like with
I think because
Giroux, like when
it felt like he went
when Giroux left the Flyers, I was like, end of an era, right? Like when Sidney Crosby retires,
yeah,
I'm gonna be like, wow. But like with Brady, it was just more of like a fucking finally. Like, thank God. Like,
I know,
dude,
right?
Just go away.
If he had gone off after, I believe this in my heart of hearts, if he quits it after he wins the Super Bowl or even after they lose to the Rams in 2021, I think we would look at it a little bit
differently. I agree.
It was because it ended so ugly for Brady. It was a horrible season. His metrics were still fine. If you the raw numbers don't support he had a good season, but his metrics still look decent. But man, that last playoff game against Dallas—that's what that game is. What a lot of people thought Tom Brady was in any other system, other than New England, because he looked terrible
in
that game. But yeah, so we close it out. We'll close out the week one by talking about the two primetime games on Sunday and Monday. It's weird. ESPN—they're not doing the doubleheader for week one.
I like that personally. You know, I kind of like just one game at a time. It'd be nice.
But Giants-Cowboys Sunday Night Football, it feels like this matchup happens all the time to open up the season on Sunday Night Football, especially. Giants-Cowboys are like –
Dude, it's
up
two,
like
of, the biggest, two
Giants
of the biggest media markets too. You got New York and then you got Dallas. You know, it is what it is.
Listen, Cowboys are a 3.5-point favorite. I got news for you, Cowboys fans. You aren't going to win by 3.5 points. You're going to win by 20. They're going to smoke.
Yeah, I think their roster is significantly –
That's not going to be a game after halftime. The Giants have no shot.
I mean, Brian DeBoll, maybe. They did re-sign Saquon, you know.
Oh no, but it won't be his fault. It's because of just it's just the look at what the Cowboys have on defense. The Giants' offensive line is still very and also they have no receivers for a quarterback who's not good. They're going to tell Saquon Barkley. Yeah, remember how like we didn't value you and we didn't want to pay you what we ended up paying you? Go win the game for us now. Like that's not a strategy. And as far as the defense goes, people tell me that it got better. Oh, they got that guy. They got the linebacker from Arizona now. They're a legitimate defense. Linebackers' value in the NFL has kind of decreased as well over the last number of years. And I'd also just say that doesn't change the fact that the secondary is very eh. Doesn't change the fact that I don't love the defensive line that they have. Cowboys are going to win that game. I think that's going to be like a 31-10 game. I do not like the Giants.
Yeah, what's funny is like them talking about their defense improving. The Cowboys had a good defense last year, and then they went and got Stephon Gilmore. Like,
yeah, they did. The Cowboys defense I don't know if the turnover rate will travel to this year, but that's
it's a
good
very
defense.
It's
a
really very good defense. It's like. And that's kind of, to me, like we talked about the Minnesota Vikings a couple weeks ago saying how like they didn't do enough in the offseason to build up their team. The Cowboys did, in my opinion. They added more to their defense, which was already solid. So you got Micah Parsons coming in off the edge. They have a good linebacker core. You got Trayvon Diggs, who he might allow some touchdowns here and there, but he is a ball hawk. He's a guy who you are aware of because he is looking to intercept the ball every single play. And then on the other side, you got Stephon Gilmore, who his coverage is so damn good that you don't even want to throw it near him because it doesn't look like the guy's open. That's a tough team, man. That's a really, really tough team. Like,
it's a tough team.
It's going to come down to me for that team. Dak, how is Dak going to look this year? If he doesn't play well this year, that'll kind of be what seals their fate. But I agree with you, man. In terms of the Giants, we talked about it earlier this year. They didn't do anything in the offseason. They didn't bring enough in. Their team played really well last year for what they had, and they didn't add to it. The Cowboys did, and they were better last year, and they're going to be better this year. And I think you're going to see that.
Cowboys, I'm a little wary of the team chemistry. I'm wary of the offensive line. I'm wary of Dak. I'm wary of a lot of things with them.
We've never seen Tony Pollard have a full workload by himself. Wary of that, yeah.
We've never seen it, although I do think that he'll be fine. I think Tony Pollard will be okay. I do think as well, the other thing I was going to say is, if the turnovers don't carry over to this year, and we kind of started to see like a bit of a, I thought a bit of a, what's the right word? Bit of a decline on the turnover rate. 2021, they were out of this world. 2022, they were good. They weren't great. If that slide continues and they're not generating turnovers, it's going to put a lot more pressure on the defensive line to get home to the quarterback. And the Cowboys play some tough offensive lines this year. Philadelphia and Detroit, notably. Those are two very, very tough offensive lines. But yeah, Cowboys, I don't think they have anything to worry about on Sunday night. They'll win that game. That game's going to be a boat race. It's just going to be a slaughter for the Cowboys. And then Monday Night Football. The Buffalo Bills travel to East Rutherford, New Jersey to take on the new team of the 2020s, right? It's Aaron Bleepin' Rodgers and the New York
unbelievable
Jets.
Scheduling.
It sounds
unbelievable
so
scheduling
weird.
By the NFL. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's funny how that worked out. It's funny how that worked. It's fitting that ESPN, a news station once known for great things, that's been reduced to just like, oh god, I can't watch ESPN anymore. But that's something I have to mention to you before we get off. Yeah. Actually. I really would be shocked if the Jets won this game. Like, I'd be like, oh, okay. This is happening. The Bills are, they're the more established team. I think they have the better coaching staff. They might not, I don't know. Do they have the better, I kind
of
think they got the better quarterback
right now. Yeah, I would say Josh Allen.
As of this recording, yes, I would say they have the better quarterback. The Jets fans, I mean, I will give this, and you have to admit this. The Jets fans are like that meme of that kid who's like straining in class. They're looking for any reason to blow up in excitement about what they think this year's team's going to be. And a win on Monday Night Football, oh my God, Dolphins, Patriots, and Bills fans will never hear the end of it. They'll just be like doesn't matter what you do. Yeah, the Jets are back, man. We're back. We are the team of the year. It is coming. And, you know, Dolphins fans will be like, oh my God, I got to hear this all freaking year now. Because the Bills couldn't do their freaking job.
What's funny is a coworker of mine, we're talking, and he's obviously a Patriot fan, and I'm a Dolphin fan, and we talked a little bit about it, and we both said, what team is the team you hate most in the division? And it was the Jets. And our reasoning was the same, and I was like, why do you hate them? And he just goes, because they don't shut the fuck up. And I was like, yeah. That's exactly what it is.
I mean, they're the Jets are to you guys what the Cowboys are to me. It's just they don't stop. And the Jets, it's like they're known for like, you know, having the most overrated quarterback in NFL history in Joe Namath. They're known for Rex Ryan and
butt fumble,
Mark Sanchez
butt fumble.
Being unable to get the job
fumble.
Done. Butt fumble, all that stuff. Like, honestly, when people ask me who's the best player in Jets history, I'm like, oh, it's got to be Darrell Revis, right? Like, he's definitely the best player in Jets history.
Yeah, he's up there.
And then I think of, like, who's a close second?
You got to think for a minute, don't you? Yeah.
Who would be a close second in the – oh, my goodness. They had Braylon Edwards. No. Stop with that. Curtis Martin? Maybe Curtis Martin would be the second best Jet ever? Oh, God. That's a real good question.
Who's the best Jet quarterback ever? A lot of people say Joe Namath because of the Super Bowl. But in terms of production – Chad Pennington's up there.
Chad Pennington, who's
number three? Number three is Aaron Rodgers right now. And he hasn't played a damn snap for the team.
You can't even give it to Mark Sanchez.
No, you can't. No. No. But no, dude, I think, honestly, I think it's going to be a great game. I do think the Jets are going to be a good team this year. I think their team's really well built. I think it's well coached. I think that roster scares me. I think Aaron Rodgers' connection with Garrett Wilson. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be the Aaron Rodgers of old, but he's going to look better than he did last year. And his relationship with Garrett Wilson, I think, is going to be very strong.
Yeah, I agree with that. With all this, yeah.
But I also think that Buffalo is very silently pissed off about all the noise about everybody else and how Buffalo's like being counted out immediately before the season's even being started. And I think recently there was a little interview with Josh Allen, and he was basically saying, he's like, I don't give a shit about what everyone else is saying. Like, we know what we are. And the confidence that he had when he said it made me think, like, yeah, he does. He does know what the Bills are, and they know that they're the top team in this division still until something else changes. They're still the top team. I think they're angry. I think they're going to go into New York angry and bust it out. But if it comes down to a duel between Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen, do I think Josh Allen's the better quarterback? Yes. But when it comes down to that last one-minute drive,
it's a scary thing.
Rodgers is going
to
get it done before Allen is. It's a great game. It's a great game. Super excited. Super excited for that game, man.
Do you remember when Sam Darnold debuted with the Jets?
I felt bad for him.
Do you remember who they played that?
I don't. Off the top of my head. I remember he threw a couple picks.
They played the Detroit Lions. And everyone remembers Sam Darnold's first ever pass.
Yep.
It was picked off and returned for a touchdown to give the Lions a 7-0 lead. But no one ever seems to remember what happened the rest of the game. Like, people are like, oh, yeah, the Darnold, he lost his first start. That's not true. The Jets won that game 45-17. They destroyed the Detroit Lions. And I would not be surprised if this game starts off very poorly for the Jets. Like, maybe some early just jitters, bugs, stuff. Like, just things that aren't working for the Jets offense. And the fans start to be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And they start booing early. If the Jets let that happen, if that happens to the Jets, the Bills are not the Detroit Lions. At least the 2018 Detroit Lions. The Bills will not let that a comeback happen. So I think it is imperative for the New York Jets to start off with an absolute bang. I'm talking take the ball first, get down the field, get it to Garrett Wilson's hands in the end zone, ignite the crowd. That's the loudest, you know, MetLife is going to be all year, is when the Jets are playing, especially in prime time. The NFL world, the NFL wants the Jets to be good because it's New York. It would be good for the NFL, for business sense, for the Jets to be good. All the media wants the Jets to be good. And I think that kind of makes the Bills, in my opinion, a bit of an underdog, and that's why I kind of think the Bills can march right into East Rutherford and be pissed off enough, as you were saying, and go take the game. Just go take it, dude. Have you forgotten that the Bills are the team that, like, if not for the Chiefs, probably would have a Super Bowl ring or two right now? Like, you know, just my thoughts on that. It's going to be fun, though. It's going to be a very, very fun Monday Night Football game that everybody in this country is going to be watching. Everyone wants to see how Aaron Rodgers looks in his first game as a New York Jet. But speaking of TV coverage, you watched the game last night, of course. When did you put the game on?
Well, unfortunately, I had to work late, so I didn't come in till there was about 10 minutes left in the first half, unfortunately. But
okay, did you watch the
halftime show?
Or like the
not really.
So
I had it on, wasn't paying attention.
This off season has been one of the worst in terms of talking points and in terms of narratives and in terms of ESPN, in terms of Fox Sports One, in terms of Twitter itself, with just there's no real football discourse, in my opinion. It's just who has the loudest voice, who has the stupidest take.
And it seems to get worse every year. It seems to get worse every year. But
I think this is definitely the worst year. And I realized something. It was like 7:30 and I hadn't put like the pregame show on, and I realized, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to watch any Fox, you know, kickoff coverage. I'm not going to watch any CBS panelists. I actually kind of like CBS because they have Bill Cowher, and I really like Bill Cowher and Boomer Esiason. But I have no interest in watching, you know, College Game Day, Monday Night Countdown. You can forget any chance of me watching Monday Night Countdown this season. I have no interest in it. I think that it is just there is no such thing as real football discourse. You and I have spent the entire time. At any point in this conversation, did we bring up the thousands of talking points that, you know, people bring up? Like when we were talking about Chiefs Lions, you and I had no hot takes. We were just like, yeah, that was a bad game for the Chiefs receivers, and credit to the Lions for getting it done. And then we moved on. Because that's what I think football discourse should be. The playoffs and the Super Bowl champions are not going to be decided after one game, but don't tell that to the news networks. They'll tell you a little bit differently. I can't do it anymore, Cameron. I just don't think I can continue to watch the pregame stuff. I will wait until the coin toss before putting on CBS on Sunday. I have no interest in watching.
Yeah, the only one that I might watch might be the NFL Network. I like that just because I like that crew, like you said, like the Rich Eyes and that. You know, it's, to me, it's a great crew.
And I like Rich Eyes.
I agree with you. You're not going to get anything from it. Like it's
nope.
It's the 24-hour media cycle of, like, we need to keep viewers, and the best way to keep viewers is to say things controversial that make people angry, that make them tune in to yell at their TV. And some people are all about it.
Yep.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm saying I don't like it. It's not for me.
It's for
can't do it anymore.
And listen, I'm not, like, you know, people, like, I think there are great football people out there. Like, Mina Kimes, I really respect her a lot. Kyle Brandt, Schreger. They have, you know, I know Stephen A. has like a negative reputation, but I think Stephen A. is a smart guy. Dan Orlovsky, I know, again, he gets a ton of crap, but I think Dan is very intelligent about like the game and everything. These are great football minds, but they are told to sell something. They have to make a dollar for their corporation. And that's just the nature. That's just the nature of the jungle right there. That's just what you have to do. But it's not for me. And I'll tell you, the exact moment I knew I was never going to watch a pregame show again, the lead up to Super Bowl 57, I was sitting down and I just kept listening to all the talk. If I had to hear one more thing about the Kelce's, if I had to hear one more thing about Mahomes, if I had to hear one more thing about how Andy – did you know Andy Reid used to coach the Eagles? I didn't know that. Like, I couldn't handle another moment of it. And I realized, like, next year I don't think I'm going to watch anything. I might put on WIP, like, in the background just to, like – listen to, like, you know, the guys talk on the radio station. Maybe listen to what Merle and Mike or Mike Quick have to say about the game before they go live with the broadcast. But it's over for me. I can't watch any of that stuff anymore. Monday Night Football. Do you have any idea how toxic Monday Night Countdown is going to be as they preview Aaron Rodgers' debut? I can't. I can't do that. For my own sanity, I have to say
it's it's the constant. You're wrong. You're an idiot. I know everything, like, from every side. It's just exhausting.
It's bad.
Dude, it's exhausting.
It's
like the
exhausting.
Game. Football is a physical, fast-paced, stressful sport as it is. I'm energized enough as a football fan. I don't need any other thing to build up my blood pressure. But I do get that, again, those shows, they aren't for you and me. Because you and me like football. We're going to watch football regardless. Doesn't matter. It's for the people who... maybe they'll watch the game, maybe they won't. But then you hear some guy talking some shit, and you want to see if they're right or wrong. You want to prove them wrong, that kind of thing. Pretty
much. The casuals. The casuals.
And God bless them, too. The NFL is trying to reach out for everybody. It's what everybody does anymore. They're trying to make sure that it's for everybody, bring everybody into it. Totally fine. But I'm with you, man. I just can't do it anymore.
Listen.
It's exhausting. It's like you're running a marathon at the pace of a sprint. When you watch the pregame show, the halftime show, and the postgame show at the same time, it's too much, man. Too much stress. Too much stress.
Fun question to kind of, you know, go off of that. Do you, like, you know, you talk about building up blood pressure and everything. I'll tell everyone mine in a second. Any pregame stuff you normally do for, like, Dolphins? Like, you know, you have, like, any rhythms or what's the right word I'm looking for?
I know you're – oh, my God. I'm blanking on it, too. Rituals. Any pregame rituals?
Rituals, thank you.
No,
pre-game
not really, man. Usually, like, it's... I usually don't have on a jersey or something immediately. I'm usually putting that on right as the game is starting. But it's usually 5 to 10 minutes of chaos of me trying to gather everything ready to go so that way I don't have to move again for the next 2-3 hours type thing. But yeah, nothing in particular. I've never been about that superstition as much because I've had so many Dolphin cups that are going to take us to the Super Bowl in my house growing up. and we didn't make the playoffs. So, like, the superstition thing kind of went out the window early for me.
Superstitions live and live well in my heart when it comes, especially for no team more than the Philadelphia Eagles. For those who know me, I've said it on this podcast before, I simply don't eat. I can't eat before and during the game. I have to, like, my mom, during the Super Bowl, there were buffalo wings upstairs, there was pizza, there was meatball subs. They, if you ask my parents, hey, what did Justin eat during the game, they will tell you he had a glass of lukewarm water at one point in the game, I think. And that was all I had. I can't eat. I get sick. I start to, you know, I'm usually in the bathroom 10 minutes, 20 minutes before the game. I'm usually dry heaving because I'm so nervous about the game. It really started during 2016, the year we drafted Wentz. It got worse in 2017 because as the expectations built as it got better and better, you know, I started to – I remember my dad asked me if I was okay the night of Super Bowl 52 because I came out of the bathroom and he said my face was gray and my hair, which I don't have any hair anymore, but I was sweating so much before the game. I was just, you know, struggling to, like, stay standing. But once the game starts, I will – at best, I'll have a sip of water between quarters. I have no interest in eating. I can't eat until after the game is over. Now, I have two modes of eating. If they win, I'm spending probably $50 at the nearest Wawa. I'll drive to Lancaster, which is where the nearest Wawa is. I will spend $50. I will get a cheesesteak. I know they're disgusting at Wawa. I know they're terrible. There's no other place to get a good cheesesteak in Harrisburg. It's going to have to be Wawa in Lancaster for me. Plus, at that point, I could eat a freaking bar of soap, and it would taste good to me after a win. But after a loss, it takes me a little bit. I just don't eat for the rest of the night. So I'll go sometimes all Sunday, some Sundays without eating. I don't wear a jersey anymore during games. I think it's bad luck. I've tried it. I can't do it. If you ask me, do wear an Eagle shirt? Sometimes. I don't have a problem wearing an Eagle shirt. Usually I wear a blank shirt with no, like, graphic on it whatsoever. Sometimes I'll just wear, like, a white t-shirt. And the air conditioning has to be on. Because if it's not, then I will be sweating profusely by midway through the first quarter. And you can text me during a game. Like, I mean, Cameron and I, we texted during the Cowboys-Eagles Sunday night game last year when it was really going well for the Eagles. Cameron knew not to text me once the game started to not go our way. But
we're both the same way, where it's like you're in the zone. Like, people, Eagle fans have asked me, AFC, NFC, like, oh, if the Dolphins and Eagles ever played in the Super Bowl, like, would, you know, it'd be great. That'd be so cool. We could watch it. I'm not watching it with you. I love you guys, but I can't. I can't. If it's a Super Bowl, I would be like you, where I'd be. I mean, my palms would be just wet the entire game.
Yeah, it's a horrible feeling. It's what made the pregame show.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because I was already so out of my mind. I didn't need any more of that. And let me say, if the Dolphins and Eagles played in the Super Bowl, I would tell this. I'll announce this right now. I would tell Cameron, listen, man. I will be so happy for you if you win. It's just going to take me a little while.
Exactly. Yeah, just give me like a day or two, and it'll be like, yeah, okay, fair enough.
But by the same token, you know, I would want, you know, once I allowed myself to just be proud of them getting to the game as opposed to, you know, winning the game, you know, I'd be online looking like, what can I buy Bill and Cameron? What can I buy him and his father, like, you know, to help them celebrate this moment? Because you guys have long earned it. Point is, though, I am so hard to watch an Eagles game with, and I almost prefer it at this point. I prefer if I watch with no one. I don't want to be seen. I can't go to a bar and watch a game. People be like, come out to the bar with us, watch the game. I'm like, are you like a Nazi or something? Like, you're an idiot if you think I'm going to go out there into a bar with other people, with people making jokes. You know, Hurt, like, oh, that was a bad throw by Hurt. It's like, you know what? Go fuck yourself. I don't care that you think Hurt threw a bad pass. How about you go eat shit? I'm here. I'm watching my team. The Eagles are to me what I am to my mother. They are unconditionally loved, and all I want to see is to see them succeed so I can be such a proud parent of the Philadelphia Eagles. And if you think I'm crazy right now talking on a Friday afternoon about the Eagles, wait until Sunday, because then I'm just like a nervous wreck.
Well...
But this is going to be fun, man. This is going to be so much fun. I am so excited about where we are in terms of the season beginning. College football began. Tomorrow is Penn State and Delaware, so I have that to look forward to.
It'll be fun.
It's back.
Dude. Yes.
Football's back. Dolphins, Chargers, Eagles, Patriots, and whatever team you root for, if you're listening to us from wherever, I know we get a weird following sometimes from different countries. Shout out to our following in Germany,
yeah, like
from time
the
to time.
Three
I
people
love you guys
that for some reason are interested.
I
but
love
yeah.
it, man.
Happy to have you.
Shout out to our friends in Iowa that listen. We get some in California. I look at the analytics, guys. Don't think I don't see where you guys are listening from. Most importantly, though, wherever you're watching from, whoever you're watching with, enjoy week one. We hope you have a great time. Cameron and I, you know, we're excited to talk about week one once it's all said and done. You know, Cameron, this is awesome. It's football.
Yeah, yeah, man. And honestly, do something to make yourself not throw up before games, because that's too much, man. You're not Jim Kelly, all right? They don't need you out there doing that. But yeah, man, it's very exciting. Last night was awesome. Happy for the Lions. Happy for America's team. America's new team.
Fun. Yep.
But America's yeah, man, I've been thinking about Sunday for 7 months, and here we go.
Ever since Super Bowl ended for me, I've been thinking about it. I just want another shot. For the Fly Guys podcast, it's Cameron Klein. My name is Justin Goodhart. Be happy, be healthy, and as always, fins up, nation, and fly, Eagles, fly.